soccer, nonsense, and everything in between. Some Canadian guys talking about soccer.
All right, hello everyone, and thanks for listening to the Some Canadian Guys Talking About Soccer podcast. This is Daniel Squizzato, a.k.a. Squiz, and I am joined by my fellow writer, fellow podcaster, and fellow Canadian guy, Jamie Doyle. Jamie, how are you?
Well, you never talk to me first.
Well, it's just a matter of order. Grant usually sits on my left and then go left from there and back to me. It's like the recycling logo. Which one are you? Are you reduce, reuse, or recycle?
I'd like to be reuse. I like that one.
Well, Grant,
I want to be reduced. Yeah, I feel like I'd get smaller.
Grant definitely can't be reduced.
Grant has been reduced.
Yes, he's been reduced to nothingness. The bacon in the BLT sandwich known as the show is not with us off the top. He will be joining us a bit later on. Where the hell is he anyway, Jamie?
Frogurt stand. He's open to Frogurt stand. Something. I can't remember.
I was theorizing that perhaps he was off somewhere preparing for this weekend's Champions League final, his club Chelsea, in the final, maybe practicing Zen Buddhism, taking a German language class so that he can apologize to the Bayern Munich fans that he inevitably offends. But one way or another, he is going to be amped up this weekend. So before, you know, I'm going to tell people what they can expect on this week's show, and then I'm going to ask you to tell an anecdote you may have told a couple of times previously.
Okay.
So on today's show, lots to get into on the domestic front. The Canadian men's national team has unveiled its 22-man roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers and the friendly against the USA. We will delve into that. Helping us in that regard will be one of the men who is on that roster, Real Salt Lake midfielder Will Johnson will be speaking with us. We're also going to look at last night's first leg of the Voyageurs Cup final. 1-1 draw between Toronto FC and the Vancouver Whitecaps at BC Place. A couple other domestic matters we'll get into. In promotion relegation, we will hit on such topics as empty pages, places that Squiz forgot to write things, and notes that weren't taken. And stay tuned, if you like, for Taste the Trivia. If it goes as swimmingly as my promotion relegation intro, then you know it'll be good. But before any of that, Jamie,
yeah,
maybe you can take us back a couple of years and tell folks what happened the last time you were in Grant's presence and Chelsea was playing in the Champions League final.
Some of our longtime listeners will have heard
all
this before.
All three of you. Hi,
yeah, exactly.
Hi, Jamie's mom.
Hey, Mom.
And Fred and Ben.
Grant and I had taken an impromptu kind of just trip to Nicaragua. We found a cheap flight and took 10 days and just kind of bummed around, did a lot of drinking in Nicaragua, and it happened to fall over Manchester United, Chelsea FC in Moscow for the Champions League final. Was it Moscow or St. Petersburg?
It was Moscow.
So we found some kind of expat bar on the beach.
Was it not run by like a big Ottawa Senators couple or some such
no,
thing?
No, that was a different bar. This was just run by some British expat dudes.
All right. Okay. I'll let you do it.
So, you know, big screen, one of those kind of bars. It's open walls, you know, and you can just wander right out onto the beach. A beautiful setting to watch a soccer game. And it's in the middle of the day in Nicaragua. So we're sitting there having beers, and Grant is just getting increasingly shaky, and like, he's emitting a low hum the entire time, and obviously a very tense game.
He's a broken carburetor.
Yeah, he was just he was fit to explode at any moment. And so game goes to extra time, goes to penalty kicks, and Grant is just, by this point, I think emotionally kind of shut down, and he's not reacting at all. Chelsea scores a penalty. He doesn't move. Ronaldo missed his penalty for Manchester United. Just nothing. Grant may as well have been staring at a wall, a blank wall. And then eventually, of course, John Terry misses his kick, Anelka misses his, and Chelsea loses, and Grant just kind of silently, calm, with an eerie calm, just gets up, walks out, with it doesn't break stride, straight out of the bar, down the beach, into the ocean, and just keeps going, just keeps walking into the ocean, and eventually I had to go and, like, collect him to prevent him trying to walk to the Philippines. it was just a very weird moment, and I don't know what's going to happen to him this time. I mean, we're in the center of a city. If he just wanders out into Yonge Street.
Well, I mean, hopefully something positive will happen to him. I mean, we saw over the weekend that long-suffering Manchester City fans finally got their moment of positive catharsis. Maybe this is going to be Grant's moment.
Well, I will be cheering for Chelsea as much as it hurts me because I like the idea of Tottenham not getting into the Champions League.
Yeah, everything's got to be vindictive with you, doesn't it, Doyle?
Yeah, but I mean, it's either vindictive against a team that I don't have any friends who really support it, or vindictive against Grant if I'm cheering for Bayern.
Well, fair enough.
And unlike you, some weird mushy middle, I can't cheer for nobody. I can't just watch a game on its own merits. I have to kind of pick a side.
Yes, imagine that, enjoying the sport of soccer based on its merits and its inherent aesthetic beauty rather than being completely beholden to visceral, irrational emotions about some team that you don't play for. On that,
well, you just sit there. You're all winners. No, it's that doesn't work for me.
Jamie, no. It's not about visceral, irrational emotions. It's about the aesthetic beauty of the game. But if we are going to talk about visceral, irrational emotions towards a team, the Canadian men's national team named its roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers. They did it in a bit of a novel way. The CSA released it via a YouTube video on their YouTube channel.
It went viral.
Well, did it? I mean, when I left, it had been out for a few minutes, and it had 100 views. I don't think that's viral quite yet. But
it's on the internet. That's what viral means, isn't
actually,
it?
Yes. If you read any media outlet these days, anything that anybody looks at on the internet has gone viral. But hopefully you'll get a chance to look at that video. We've posted it on our Facebook page. But, Jamie, I'm going to list off these men, and maybe we can talk a bit about whether there are any surprises here in terms of omissions or inclusions. My words are going well today.
Yeah.
So in goal, we've got your boy, Lars Hirschfeld.
Why is he my boy?
I don't know. You like him. Just go with it. Milan Borjan and Kenny Stamatopoulos. On the back line, Nick Ledgerwood, Mike Klakowski, Kevin McKenna, Andre Haino, David Edgar, Ashton Morgan, and Antti Jazic. In the midfield, Julian de Guzman, Will Johnson, Josh Simpson, Atiba Hutchinson, Pedro Pacheco, Samuel Piette, and Issy Nakajima Ferran, and up top, Ian Hume to St. Ricketts, Simeon Jackson, Dwayne Di Rosario, and Olivier Osien.
I like that as our starting lineup.
I think we have a very good chance. 22 men on the field, including three keepers, we are golden. But when you heard this list, Jamie, did anything stand out to you, either in terms of someone that was there or someone that wasn't?
No, Adam Strath seemed a bit... he was getting regular minutes with the team. That seemed a bit of a surprise. But, I mean, overall, the surprises that we wanted weren't there, and the two men whose names I won't even bother to mention.
One of which I almost inadvertently mentioned
exactly
a moment ago.
But no, it's more or less as expected. Samuel Piette is a bit of a noodle scratcher in that, you know, he doesn't have a team, apparently, according to the video that went viral earlier today.
Well, it's in the process of going viral. It's infecting people as we speak.
Now, this is obviously a pretty big show of faith in him to take him along in World Cup qualifying. He didn't even play in the friendly that they called him up for. He did all right, but he didn't play 90 minutes every game in the
Olympic qualifying.
Thank you. My brain just completely shut down there.
That's a good day for both of us.
So, I mean, of all the people we thought would get a call up from that Olympic team, I don't think Piette would have really topped the list.
Yeah, I think if people were thinking of somebody that was going to get a call up from that team, it probably would have been someone like Randy Edwini Bonsu, or Lucas Cavallini, Marcus Haber, maybe even Mihal Mišević.
Yeah.
But clearly, Steven Hart has a lot of faith in Samuel Piette, and we've seen both in the case of him getting a call up to a friendly, as well as Joseph De Chiara, I believe it was last year, getting a call up to the earlier round of World Cup qualifying. I think Hart places some value in getting these young guys into this situation, into this environment, and getting them acclimated to it, even if they're not necessarily going to play. In the case of Samuel Piette, comes along this time out. Is he going to play 90 minutes every game? No. Is he going to play every game? No. Is he going to play at all? Probably not. But he's 17 years old. Next time out, the next time Canada's in this round of World Cup qualifying 4 years from now, he's still only 21 with some experience, you know, going down to Honduras, Panama, these kind of places, and everything that brings with it. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily see a problem with the pick, but, Jamie, is there somebody that you would have rather seen in that roster spot rather than taking a flyer on a guy like Piette?
Well, no, and that's the thing. I mean, we have all the guys that you kind of expect to see in that midfield. So
Patrice Bernier?
Well, fair enough. I mean, he hasn't had the greatest of seasons, but I don't think that he would be a starter anyways. So, I mean, one thing, the last thing I'll say about Piette is this could be possibly an effort to take a kid that Steven Hart feels has a very bright future ahead of him and who is without a club and just kind of put him in the shop window.
Yeah, and my understanding is, I mean, he was at FC Metz in France, and I am of the impression that he is now with a club in Germany.
CSA appears to not know.
With Grant not being here, we're going to minimize the amount of unsubstantiated rumor mongering. So I'll say that's what I've been in. That's the impression I'm under, but I don't know if that's necessarily correct.
What's hanging in the air.
Now, another name that kind of surprised people and seems to surprise people every time he's called, even though he now has five caps, is Pedro Pacheco, another player in the midfield where you may have expected to see somebody like Patrice Bernier or possibly even Terry Dunfield. Not really much you can say in this case, though. I mean, he's the captain of his team in Portugal, so he must be good.
But I mean, every time he plays for Canada, he's solid. Like he's not. He may not be the flashiest player. He may not be a match winner, but he seems very reliable. He doesn't make mistakes. And he did score one heck of a goal for, what's it, Santa Clara that I saw on YouTube just before we started recording this.
Is it because I retweeted it?
Somebody did, so I assume it was you, yeah.
Yeah, it was our friend Steve Pander over behind True North Soccer. But a number of positions were going to be contentious coming into this, so why don't we just quickly hit on what the situation may be here. Left back with Marcel De Jong out with a long-term injury was going to be a point of contention. You know, 4 years ago, if we had said, you know, it's a point of contention and Mike Klakowski's in the lineup, that would have seemed ridiculous because at that time, I think, I don't know if this story is apocryphal or not, but at that time, Steven Hart told some conference somewhere that the two kind of world-class players that he thought the men's national team had were Julian De Guzman and Mike Klakowski.
I do remember that, yeah.
And
they were in the Gold Cup team, like all-star team, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Team of the tournament.
Julian De Guzman's time at Toronto FC has been well-documented. And Mike Klakowski as well. You know, are people putting too much stock in the very rough game that he had for Canada in their last go in that friendly against Armenia? I mean, this is still a guy who has something to contribute and is the starting left back, is he not?
I'd say for me, yes.
That sounds like a vote of confidence.
Well, I mean, soccer is very much any sport is pretty much a what have you done for me lately.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he still deserves a look in, and I guess they'll make the decision at camp and after the USA game.
All right. At right back, on the other side, another point of contention for Canadian fans. Jamie?
A better point of contention.
Yes.
Though.
Who have you got starting at Canada for right back at right back here?
Ante Jazic would start for me.
At right back?
No, sorry, at left back.
Come on, man.
I'm all backwards. I'm the one who's supposed to be at right back.
Yeah, because you haven't been named to this roster, it's got to be somebody else.
Well, the thing is, like, Edgar seems to be their kind of go-to now. They used him in right back in the last round of qualifying, but he's so much better as a central defender. That's where he's more comfortable, and that's where he's been getting all of his minutes for Burnley. So I'd be inclined to leave him there and just let him play where he wants.
Yeah, there was a projected roster put up by Ian Clark over at Red Nation Online a few days ago before the roster was revealed. He had David Edgar at center back with Kevin McKenna, with Andre Haino at right back, a position that he's been playing at Houston quite competently. And I don't know, I like that alignment, truth be told. Anything else that really sticks out to you here, Jamie? Anybody that should have been on this roster that wasn't, or, you know, any big surprises that we haven't addressed as of yet?
No, I mean,
other than those two guys who shall not be named, and that's really not a surprise anyway. Clearly, the open letter I wrote didn't work. Shucks.
the big hope that I have, I mean, Simeon Jackson, always want him to have that kind of breakthrough moment where he starts being really, really good for the national team. And not that he's been bad, but he just hasn't been a consistent goal scorer, but maybe it's Olivier Osien now after having a gangbuster season, tied for top of the league and scoring in the two Bundesliga. Hopefully he can be the guy who provides all the goals for us.
Here's hoping.
By all the goals, I mean all the goals that we haven't been getting.
Yeah, all the goals that we need, all the goals that'll take us into the next round. What's Rob Friend up to? Do you know?
I think he's staying at Hertha Berlin, and that'll be in the second division.
Yeah.
Not
on this roster. Kind of a letdown for the guys who we know are going to be traveling in from Saskatchewan for the game. They may have wanted to see one of their native sons in the game there. But
to see him in the game and scoring goals, but that hasn't really been the case.
Yeah, true enough. You talk about guys who have had good club careers, but haven't necessarily been able to put it together for the country.
Yeah.
All in all, I mean, It's largely what we would have expected. A couple of surprises, but good to see a guy like Issy Nakajima-Ferran get back in. He's had some good performances for Canada, and we, you know, I don't know. I thought that perhaps he would have been forgotten playing on the other side of the world down in Australia, but clearly
he's playing for the best team in Australia.
Well, historically, not this year. That's debatable. No, they won the championship on a dubious last minute penalty.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one we talked about that before. I remember. I heard about that on our show.
Yeah, I listen to it every week. Grant doesn't, but you know, I try to. So as you would have seen if you watched that video, details on getting tickets for those games. And we're going to keep doing this. No matter where you are in the country, you can help support the men's national team. If you're in Toronto, Southern Ontario, or you're able to get to these games in any way, shape, or form, get your tickets, bring your friends. You can go to Ticketmaster, get them there. If you're looking for the supporter section, the Voyageurs website at cansoc.org, the details are there. All of the information is put together on the CSA site, canadasoccer.com/CVRise. Everything you need to know is there. If you can't make it to the games, you can still take part in the charity giveaway movement that the Voyageurs have organized with Toronto Community Housing. Go to the Voyageurs site, cansoc.org. You can buy some tickets that will be used to put deserving kids in the stands, and they will be there cheering for Canada. Actually, we don't know that for sure, but they might be there cheering indiscriminately. But the point is, there will be more people in the stands that we know will not be cheering for Honduras on June 12th, and the fewer people cheering for Honduras, the better for my blood pressure, which will be through the roof anyway.
Yeah.
But.
And you mentioned that people should, if it's reasonable, they should get to the game any way possible. And I think we could offer a team high five and maybe even a beer given to the person who gets to the game in the most creative way possible. Camelback.
Yeah, like on the back of an ostrich?
Back of an ostrich, that'd be good. Homemade helicopter, that's not advisable, but if it works.
Now we're going to get people coming up with Rube Goldberg machines
to transport
themselves across the country. In any event, you know, these are the most important games that the men's national team has played in the last 4 years. So if there was ever a time to get out there, buy some tickets, and help fill the stadium with red, the time is now. We'll move on to another subject, the Canadian Championship, or the Voyageurs Cup, as you will, named, of course, after the supporters group because it was purchased by them, not by some, you know, corporation or vague thing called Canadian. It's the Voyageurs Cup. So last night, in the first leg of this year's final of the Voyageurs Cup, 1-1 draw between Toronto FC and the Vancouver Whitecaps at BC Place. Jamie, you would have watched the game. You would have seen the strong performance put on by Toronto FC.
I would have, and I did.
You would have seen the golazo at the end by Eric Hasley to equalize things. So coming out of that game, you're a Toronto FC fan. What are your thoughts?
Things are looking good. I mean, Toronto does seem very much to be on the up, as it said. A game without Torsten Frings, and they managed to put in a very strong performance. They really could have won 2-0, and I'm assuming that if they had scored, they had a great chance.
Yeah, Nick Soelsma being put in by Ryan Johnson.
Exactly, and then I'm assuming that Hasley wouldn't have scored his, to be fair, really excellent.
Well, no, he just would have been emotionally devastated.
The whole situation wouldn't have come about.
You don't know that. You're not a
time is linear, man.
You're not a time traveler.
Yeah, well,
listen, man, there are fixed points in time, and there are non-fixed points. The non-fixed points can be changed, and I make too many Doctor Who references on this show.
I don't know what's going on.
But, Jamie, I mentioned Hasley's goal at the end, and I think that anybody, no matter where you stand on any side of the fence or you're the fence itself, you kind of have to tip your hat to that finish by Hasley. But what really got me was the celebration afterwards, and you had a bit of a different take on this. So I saw what he did, and what I construed it as, you know, he scores an awesome goal, an important goal for his team in front of the home fans. And what I see on television is he smacks his chest over the crest, you know, wags his finger, no, and then does the double, you know, like the Rob Van Dam double thumb point to the name on his back. I construe that as, was this a team effort? Nope, it was all me, as if he passed the ball to himself, which, I don't know, I think is kind of a dick move if that's what he was doing, and I can't possibly imagine what else he was doing, but
yeah,
you
I
saw it a
it
bit
as
differently.
Kind of like, you know, it's just three separate kind of things. Just everyone just kind of slaps their chest when they score. Not everyone, but I mean, it's a pretty common thing.
I walk around slapping my chest all day.
Yeah, but you don't really score a lot of goals in professional soccer.
No.
Or any.
No.
And so that's just one thing. And then the finger wag to, like, opposition fans, and then just
But were they there?
I don't know. I'm just trying to find a way that this isn't a complete dick move, as you called it.
Yeah, I mean, I brought this up in a, you know, on Twitter, and a couple of people got back to me right away and said, did he make a check signing motion? As if like, oh, well, you know, Dwayne De Rosario did it, so why can't he? And, yeah. And it's not about, it's not, like, I would think that.
And he's already a DP, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Hassley doesn't have to make a check signing motion. He's already signed his big check. But
He signed a contract, I suppose.
Well, right. They signed the check and
unless he's paying to play for Vancouver, in which case then he'd take out some grievances.
I would think that if anything, Vancouver fans would be the ones who should be the most agitated by this. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. He's not offending me. I'm not a fan of the Whitecaps. So him, you know, saying it's all about me doesn't affect me personally. I would think Whitecaps fans would be the ones that would be agitated by that.
It does seem like the kind of thing that can be horribly misconstrued.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe Dwayne De Rosario wasn't doing what we thought he was doing with that check signing motion. Maybe he was just suggesting, we are going to go out for a nice team steak dinner tonight, and I am going to sign that bill. Yeah. I'm going to pay for it because I love my teammates.
Well,
so we don't ultimately know what was in D-Rose's head or Hasley's head. No, we're just speculating.
And I remember in November, during Movember, Joey Barton, of all people, had a mustache, which looked vaguely like a Hitler mustache, but I don't think that's really his fault. And he scored a goal and just kind of put his arm up, and there's a picture of him where he looks like kind of Hitler doing a Nazi salute. And that's just, like, it's just completely taken, it's a moment of ridiculous exuberance by any of these guys, because they've just scored a goal, everyone's going nuts, I imagine the adrenaline is pumping, and they just do whatever. And it must take a lot of self-restraint to even act out one of these stupid dances that you think of beforehand.
I don't know, I think there's a lot of choreography that goes into those goal celebrations.
No, I know. I'm actually now just becoming amazed that somebody can restrain themselves to actually do it as opposed to just run wildly.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the context, right? If you kind of score a meaningless goal when your team's already down 5-0, you're probably not going to be running around with your
arms
akimbo.
You're not going to be doing some ridiculous choreographed dance, too, if your team, it's now 5-1 against you.
No, maybe it's the last game of the season and you just like to dance. You take any chance that you can get.
Yeah, but if I roll up the rim and get a donut, I'm pretty much turned into Marco Tardelli.
As long as you don't turn into Paulo DiCanio.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to next week, then, as it did last year, it's all going to come down to one game, or in the case of last year, 1.5 games at BMO Field with the Voyageurs Cup on the line. Toronto has that critical away goal. Away goals count, you know, going back to BMO Field. So how do you see this turning out, Jamie? I mean, in the semifinal, we saw Toronto FC take a very dire approach in the first leg against Montreal and then come out very strong in the second leg at home. In the final here, Toronto definitely went for it. I mean, I think all three of their substitutions were still offensive-minded, so they were definitely going for it full bore in Vancouver. Are they going to sit back and park the bus at home? Are they going to be going end-to-end? What are you anticipating in this game, considering that obviously Vancouver is going to be going for it, needing the away goal?
I think Toronto's going to have to play more or less the exact same game. They can't afford, and I think they know from their defensive record this year that they can't afford to sit back. They did it once, and it worked against Montreal, and I don't think they're really going to push their luck, especially not at home. Because that, I mean, realistically, that away goal, it's not much. They have to build on it. They can't sit on it. They can't sit on a 1-1 scoreline.
No, not the most safe proposition in the world.
No.
But we will keep our eyes on the weather forecast, and that, I believe, is the 85,000th thunderstorm-related joke made about this game to this point, and we're hoping to hit 100,000 by the time the game actually rolls around, but that's next Wednesday evening. We'll
game
all be
rolls around like the thunderclouds.
85,001. Just quickly before we talk to Will Johnson, a couple of other things I wanted to get your thoughts on, Jamie.
Yep.
The Centennial kits.
Yeah.
Umbro has rolled out the special blue, white, and red jerseys to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the CSA. They were the jerseys worn by the men's national team in 1925 when they played the first game on home soil in Montreal, a 1-0 win over the U.S. And it's the jersey that Canada, the men's team, will wear against the USA on June 3rd, and the women's team will wear against the USA when they play at Rio Tinto Stadium in Utah on June the 30th. So, I mean, you know, we've had a week to look at them and digest our thoughts on them.
I've been staring at it for a week.
Well, what do you think?
I think they're all right. They have, you know, the kind of old-timey feel about them that says centennial. I don't know. That's about all I've got from them. I have had to explain to everyone who's looked at one why they're blue.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, they seem like a nice kid.
I mean,
the maple leaf is a bit wonky. I've never seen a maple leaf that actually looks like that.
Well,
like a real one. It's all elongated. It's kind of like it's melting.
I mean, that's the thing, is that people say, you know, oh, blue, that's strange. Canada's national colors are red and white. But, I mean, the Canadian flag, as such as it is, but the red and white has only been around for, what, 50, 60 years?
Yeah.
I mean, at the time when these uniforms would have been worn, I'm not a flagologist, so I don't know the exact timeline there.
No,
but
it would be the Union Jack.
Yeah, or I think it may have been one of those like combo flags, kind of like the Ontario flag and Manitoba flag with the Union Jack in the top, and
it's
then something
the
else.
Red Ensign.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
But either way, yeah, they just went with blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange to be playing in red, white, and blue against the U.S., but you know, I think they look pretty sharp, and the U.S. will probably be wearing those FC Dallas style red and white hoops, so there won't really be any difficulty discerning one team from another.
No.
And just quickly, another team that wears blue, the Montreal Impact, Jamie. They drew 60,000 people to Olympic Stadium.
That's pretty good.
Over the weekend for a 1-1 draw against the LA Galaxy. Is this proof positive that 6 years in, the Beckham effect is still fully in effect? I mean, we saw 48,000 at the Sky Dome earlier. Mm-hmm. So the Rogers Centre earlier this year to watch the Galaxy play against Toronto FC. And in that case, Beckham was overwhelmingly booed every time he touched the ball.
Yeah.
60,000 LA in Montreal. The fans were overwhelmingly there to support the Impact, but there definitely wasn't as negative a response to Beckham being on the field. So, I mean, people complain, you know, now he's off, you know, delivering the Olympic torch or some such thing rather than training with LA. But, I mean, is the fact that he's still packing the house like this 6 years in kind of proof positive that the Beckham experiment, as Grant Wall called it, has been a success?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Montreal does well without him, relatively speaking. They managed to pack more or less the the Olympic Stadium, you know, in their CONCACAF World Cup, CONCACAF Champions League. CONCACAF World Cup.
Brought to you by the ProRail Group.
Yeah, I mean, basically, he's still a big draw. He's still a huge name in international soccer. You can't really complain about that, and you can't complain that 60,000 people went out to see the Impact. It's a shame that they don't get 60,000 every time, but
if only they could get six. Well, I don't think they'll be getting 60,000 at Saputo Stadium.
Well, no, that would be uncomfortable.
Yeah. At the end of the day, someone paying money to go watch a Canadian club in competition, in real competition, you know, it's a league game. People are there, whatever they're there for. They're there watching the Impact, or they're there watching Toronto FC or Vancouver or FC Edmonton or whoever it is. That's one more person through the gates supporting Canadian soccer. So
exactly.
It's tough to argue against that. Someone else who very fervently supports Canadian soccer by virtue of playing for our national team is our guest after the break here, Real Salt Lake midfielder Will Johnson, right after this. Joining us now on the line, on the road, somewhere in Utah, he's a midfielder for Real Salt Lake and the Canadian men's national team, Will Johnson. Will, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The news became official to fans this morning that you were going to be one of the players named to the roster for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers and the friendly against the USA. So, first of all, wanted to say congrats on that.
Thank you very much. I'm honored by the call-up.
Yeah, you indicated as much on Twitter earlier today. You said, "Not many things more rewarding in football than to be called up to play for my country. Extremely excited for the challenge ahead." So maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what it personally means to you to represent Canada in international play.
Yeah, it means a lot. I think when you're a young kid, like I was when I got my first cap, you don't appreciate exactly what you're getting yourself into. And playing some friendly games here and there. But once you start to get to World Cup qualifiers, where it's the best 18 to 20 to 25 guys in Canada going to compete for their country to try and get to a World Cup, it starts to mean something pretty special. And I think we've got a group that realizes that. And I think the journey, obviously, this group that we have is a very difficult one, a lot of challenges in there, and we're going to need to be at our very best to get through this round, and I think that just has to be our focus right now, these next six games, I mean, more specifically, these next two games, and then we'll go from there.
You mentioned that at the beginning, when you're really young, you don't necessarily appreciate how big it is. Was there a moment along the line when you realized, whoa, this is a big deal. I'm representing my country.
Yeah, I think this past year during World Cup qualifiers, for me, I hadn't really been involved in any of the previous qualifying campaigns, even though I'd been in and around the national team. I wasn't involved under the past previous coaches, and so when we started playing those games last year against St. Kitts, St. Lucia, and Puerto Rico, it started to mean something. This is a chance to get a nation that is so desperate to get to a World Cup, and we've got the ability to do that for some of these teams. So we're excited, and I think that's the biggest honor. Obviously, friendlies and Gold Cups are extremely important in their own right, but, nothing gets the adrenaline pumping like World Cup qualifiers.
Now, Major League Soccer, thankfully, is going to be taking a break in June for the World Cup qualifiers and other international competitions that are going on. So how important is it for you as a player to not get caught in that club versus country situation that can sometimes happen for players in MLS?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I'm very thankful to the league that they've decided to take the FIFA dates off this year. I think it's important for the development of the league and the game in this country. You know, it's impossible. You're sitting there watching your team on the road in some hotel, on MLS Live and watching them compete in a league game. And in one way, when you get called up for your national team, it was a punishment that you were going to miss league games. And then obviously your coach wasn't happy. And, you get caught in the middle of this fight, as you mentioned. And, you don't want to upset anyone. You don't want to upset your club coach. You don't want to upset your national team coach or the fans or pick and choose. It's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be an extra incentive for you to do really well with your club so that you get called up and honored by national teams. I think that's the purpose and the beauty of playing international football. But when you had to pick and choose and were being used as a pawn by both teams, because both coaches obviously want their international players available at all times, which is completely understandable, but it's just not fair. So very thankful for the league for doing that, and I think it's a huge step in the right direction.
Well, now that you've got a full focus on the national team, the first game at home, I guess the second game of this round of qualifying, is Honduras in Toronto. And for Canadian fans, and us particularly on this podcast, Honduras is something of a bugbear. It's the team that we just, from history, our own personal history with watching you guys play them, just kind of hate. And I wonder, does that translate to the dressing room? Like, is there a team that you face in these kind of qualifying or in the Gold Cup that everyone just kind of, I'm going to hate these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Some teams more than others. I mean, Honduras is one of those teams that they've been successful, and I think we don't like them personally because, they've had a lot of success, and you can see yourself in their shoes. You know, we have the players that they do. We have the ability to compete, and they've gone to a World Cup, and so it might be a little bit of a jealous factor and the fact that they've been able to nick some results against us here and there. So, I think it's a fair comment. Obviously, we got to focus on that Cuba game first. But that Honduras game at home is really one that's going to set the tone for the entire group. And we need a big performance at home so we can get some fans aboard our ship and get them out for the later two rounds once they see, wow, this is a good team, good group of guys, and got a chance to do something special. So I think, there's a big a big spot right there for us to take advantage of, a big opportunity.
Well, we're doing our best to encourage people to get out and, as Stephen Hart would say, taste the soup at those games. So hopefully, as you say, there will be a strong pro-Canadian crowd at those games. You mentioned two of the opponents that Canada has in this upcoming round, Honduras and Cuba. Panama rounds out the group, and you said earlier on that this is going to be a challenge. What does the Canadian team need to do to finally get out of this round of qualifying and make it back to the hex, something that Canada hasn't been able to do in the last three rounds of World Cup qualifying?
Yeah, I think just play as a team, unite. I think we've got a coach now that everybody respects. We've got a system that everybody's on board with. I think we're in a good spot right now. We've got a group of guys now who've been together, probably this group, under the past two or three years, maybe, a few guys in and out here and there, but it's been the majority of the same guys for most of this these past couple of years. And so now we got a group of guys that actually really likes each other, likes spending a lot of time together. It's not just treating it as a holiday. It's a job, and everybody really wants to succeed. So we just got to unite, play as a team. Everybody play within themselves. We don't need guys trying to come up to the national team and trying to be somebody that they're not. You know, we're all called up for different reasons, specific roles, tactically, you know, both on and off the field to make this thing work. And so we have to stick to that, you know, individually. And you know, if the team makes it to a World Cup, all the individual stuff will take care of itself. So as long as we, you know, keep that team focus in mind, I think we'll be just fine.
You talk about the cohesion that a number of the players on the team currently have as a result of being called up consistently over a number of years. And one thing I think that fans are curious to know about is the extent to which the Canadian team or any national team exists in the times when they're not playing, by which I mean the players. Obviously, your foremost focus for most of the year is on competing with your club teams, but even in times when the national team isn't in camp, for you personally, are you in touch with your Canadian teammates regularly? Is there a sense of cohesion and a bond that persists among the players even when they aren't in camp or getting ready to play a national team game?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I speak to a few of the guys every now and again, and, you know, usually when somebody does something well, you know, you send them a message, you know, great goal or well done on a great season. You know, I catch up with a few of the guys more personally, but, yeah, I think we all follow each other. We all keep each other in the mind, and, you know, there's a difference between club football and national team football with friends and brothers. You know, these are our Canadian, you know, fellow Canadians. It's our people. You know, it's not just guys that you meet with the club, guys get signed in and out. You're always going to be part of Canada. You know, I'm probably not always going to be part of Real Salt Lake or something like that. You know, guys get moved all around, but, you know, no one, you know, I'm not going to go play for any other country. This is, you know, my country, and I know all the guys feel that way. And so that brings a unique bond between the guys that you have versus, you know, kind of the club football atmosphere.
It's interesting that you mention your club, Real Salt Lake, and the idea of player movement there, because I was going to ask about the club and the success that your team has managed to have consistently over the last 3, 4, 5 years. MLS is a league supposedly built on parity, but there have been a number of teams in the last few years, Real Salt Lake among them, that have consistently been one of the stronger, more dangerous teams. So what is it about Real Salt Lake and the group that you have there that has allowed you guys to year over year continue to have that success? Is it a matter of just consistency within the roster? Is it a coaching situation, or is it some combination of different factors?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of everything. Obviously, we've got a core group of guys here who not only have been in this league for a long time, but know how to win in this league. This league is unlike any other league in the world with the travel and the tournaments and the playing through the summer and what's expected of guys, and so that takes a toll, and it takes a learning curve to finally get that, which can take a few years. It takes some hard times. I mean, I think in 2008 or 2009 we won 2 games on the road or something, but we've always been strong at home, so that's been good. A lot of people just say keeping a core group of guys together, but if you have a bad core, obviously it's not going to work no matter how long you keep them together. So there's a bit of factors in that. Obviously, I give a lot of credit to Garth and Jason and the staff. Jason's a very smart guy. He's learned a lot along with us on this journey. So I think just stability, keeping guys together, keeping guys happy, knowing that the club's going to take care of you, knowing that you're not going to get traded at any moment. It just doesn't happen around here. They treat the guys with respect instead of ID numbers, and I think that goes a long way to being successful, stable, and, you know, being known as one of the better clubs in the league, for sure.
And recently, you agreed to have your name added to a list to show your support for what's called the Gay for Soccer movement. They asked you if you'd add your name to their list of allies within Major League Soccer and the soccer community. Took a look at the list. It's a long list, and from what I could understand, it's about promoting diversity and inclusion and those sort of properties within the league and within the sport of soccer. Could you tell us what you think of that movement and why it was important for you to show your support for it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, from my understanding too, it's for diversity and to support gay rights. I think, everybody has a right to live the life that they want to live. That's how I live my life, and I don't think anybody should be able to tell people any differently. And that should be in sports, work, whatever you want to do. I just believe everybody should have a fair chance to live the life that they want to live and live it however they want. So, I just wanted to support that and let people know that it's 2012. It's time to get over issues of race, issues of the gay rights and all that stuff. That stuff is just so amateur to me. I think everybody should be able to live their life how they want to live it, and nobody should be able to tell them any different.
That's very well said. We've got one question that one topic that we bring up with every Canadian national team member, from any of the Canadian national teams that we talk to, the women or the younger guys, and it tends to be around the music in the dressing room. But generally what we've been finding is that everyone just listens to their iPod. It's not like you have guys who have really embarrassing taste in music that at least you know of, because if it's embarrassing, they just pop it into their iPod. So I'm going to take our music question in a slightly different direction, because I know Canadian supporters are very keen on new songs, and I think you've definitely earned yourself a song for these upcoming World Cup qualifiers in the south end at BMO Field. But instead of having us pick it for you, if you could have one song that they take and build a Will Johnson chant around, a beat that you like, or whatever, what would you pick? I realize I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot there. I'm not sure. I'm not in charge of the music around here. Beckerman takes that. He actually carries we don't listen to iPods. We've got a boombox that we bring on the road with us. So he puts his music into that. We just go. I don't know. I don't have a specific song that I would.
Maybe we should ask Jose Beckerman.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get Beckerman to
make him pick
one for me.
Yeah, I'm guessing he has. I'm guessing he has pretty eclectic musical tastes, huh?
Oh yeah, we got a lot of stuff. We got everything. We got like rapping Jamaican dudes, singing all sorts of songs. It's pretty cool, man. It's a unique group. It's not just your standard rap or techno. We got some unique stuff going on over here. So I'll look that up and hit you guys up with that stuff.
Well, is there any chance, because I know the guy from Rancid wrote a supporters chant for Real Salt Lake. Is there any chance, is the club, close with the guy? Could they maybe get him to come up here and write a new chant for the Canadian team based on you? Is that possible, do you think?
Yeah, I'll speak to him. He's a really good friend of mine, Brandon Steinekert. He's a good friend of mine. I'll hit him up today and see if I can get him to produce a song for us, because he's one of the most talented musical people that I've ever met in my life, so that would be awesome.
Outstanding.
All right, we're definitely going to follow up with you on that. For the time being, we will let you get to training, and thank you for joining us. That has been Real Salt Lake and Canadian men's national team midfielder Will Johnson. Will, good luck with Real Salt Lake this year, and very, very good luck with Canada this year in World Cup qualifying.
Great, guys. Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
We are back, and joining us, as promised, the bacon in the BLT sandwich of this show, as I referred to him earlier, our other fellow writer, fellow podcaster, and Canadian guy, Grant Surridge. Grant, where were you? What's up?
I had some other commitments I needed to take care of.
I suggested that you were running a Kroger stand, or that you were in some other kind of cockamamie get-rich-quick scheme.
Now I'm just thinking about that Simpsons episode with the Frogert.
Yeah.
The Halloween episode. It was interesting because when I was waiting to come in here today, waiting down in the lobby.
Someone told you about potassium benzoate?
No, there was these two people beside me just doing all these kind of Simpsons impersonations.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just sounded ridiculous, and it kind of occurred to me, maybe that's what I sound like all the time.
It is. No, it is. It's essentially you and I standing around. Like, what were they impersonating? Who were they?
They were doing, I think it was the episode with the lamb, where somebody has a dream about a lamb, and he's talking in, "Please don't eat me.
Lisa, I thought you loved me.
That was the one.
Love me."
So that's exactly what they were doing.
Why is he talking in a lamb's voice? Yeah, exactly. They were doing exactly that.
And now Squiz has just done it on the air.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the air.
So we look to the listening public as stupid as those people did to Grant in the lobby.
Exactly.
Jamie, on that note, I want to bring to your attention that when we were speaking to Will Johnson just now, you refer to his dreadlocked teammate as Jose Beckerman.
Yeah, I did.
Who? What?
On
who?
The note, on the note of looking stupid, I think I was thinking of Jose Beckerman. It's Kyle Beckerman, and
yes.
I know
Jose
that.
Jose Beckerman doesn't have dreadlocks.
No, but Kyle Beckerman does, and I've decided to mash them two together into one dreadlocked international manager.
All right, cool.
Jose Peckerman didn't use Leo Messi when he was down one goal against Germany in the 2006 World Cup.
I'll tell you what, neither did Kyle Beckerman.
I know.
Maybe if Leo Messi had dreadlocks, he would have gotten onto the field.
If Leo Messi had dreadlocks, they would touch the ground and he would look like a shaggy dog. He's too small for dreadlocks.
I think Leo Messi was about 17 at the time, but whatever.
Rapunzel for the Canadian women's national team.
That doesn't make any sense.
This will not be a mashup coming up, though. We have very clearly delineated and demarcated sections of this segment that we never cross over at all, never confuse. It's promotion relegation. Grant?
Yes.
You are talking point free. You're freestyling all this, but I will still ask you, who or what would you like to promote?
Well, my promotion today, and this is actually going to be a really controversial one, especially for hardcore Canadian supporters.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'm really going to stir the pot with this, but I'm going to go ahead and promote Simeon Jackson.
All right, for God's sake.
That, folks, is called irony. Irony.
I'm going to promote Simeon Jackson for scoring a goal in the last Premier League game of the season. And I think, you know, he's assuming Jackson.
I think that was
kind of
Sergio Aguero.
Well,
in Norwich's last.
Yeah, for Norwich City. Yeah.
Come on now.
Go on.
To the best of my knowledge, Simeon Jackson isn't playing for Manchester City yet. But, you know, they buy a lot of players and keep them. Who knows? You know?
They wheel and deal.
So I'm promoting Simeon Jackson because he has this tendency to go on late season sort of goal splurges. And I am hoping, personally, that this goal he scored in the last game of the Premier League season signifies or is the start of another one of his patented goal splurges that is going to peak during World Cup qualification.
You almost make that sound like it's like a nature documentary. And like, oh, and here begins the annual splurge of goals from the red jerseyed Simeon Jackson.
The annual,
careful, please.
The annual Jackson migration from the bench to the pitch. So, Grant, that was very controversial.
I know.
Very controversial of you. I think we're going to get letters about that one. Jamie?
Yes.
Who or what would you like to promote?
I mentioned a while ago, maybe two episodes ago.
Yeah,
all these
ancient
episodes?
History.
Whatever. That Barack Obama was a soccer guy. And I don't know. I'm not entirely sure where that came from.
Based on nothing. Based on a photo op.
He's done another photo op that makes him even more of a soccer guy, kind of. As per standing tradition, the winners of sports teams for no evident reason go to the White House and have a photo op with the president.
No, he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, no, he's, you know. So, MLS Cup winners from last year, LA Galaxy, were at the White House in the past week or so, met with Barack Obama, and he kind of did, you know, a little press conference spiel. And he spent most of it kind of making fun of David Beckham, which I enjoyed thoroughly. So I'm promoting him for that. And there was a moment. Specifically, there was a moment where he made some kind of thing about how David Beckham, hey, David, you and I are getting old, and he looked over his right shoulder, and David Beckham was, like, on his left, and to be fair, he's kind of standing in front of them, but I just liked that moment when you realize, hey, here's one guy who can be in the room with David Beckham and have no, like, hyper-awareness of where Golden Balls is at all times, and Beckham just kind of, and then, like, did kind of an awkward whatever, because he kind of looked the wrong way, and he was talking to him, but looking at someone else. It's nice to see someone who can make David Beckham look a little bit insignificant.
You may know more about this than I would, because this was your promotion, but was there any member of the LA Galaxy that pulled a Tim Thomas and refused to show up and wrote some rambling Facebook screed about how he's a all-caps individual with all-caps rights and all sorts of other kind of Tea Party-esque nonsense?
No, not that I am aware of, but that would be good.
Just Mike McGee refuses to attend White House press, you know, press event.
Yeah, no.
Pledges support for Tea Party.
Yeah.
You know, after that.
Sports tax increase for the middle class.
They were supposed to have like a Beckham was supposed to give like a soccer lesson on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
But it was raining, so they just moved it inside and it became like a Q&A.
Well, they couldn't have a White House press event on a Tuesday night in Stoke.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Barack Obama knows how to do a Q&A already.
No. They had a Q&A with David Beckham.
No, I know, but like, it's, you know, they changed it from a soccer lesson to a
soccer question
to a Q&A lesson.
Right. Barack, what you do is they ask you a question and then you stare at them dumbly and wait for your wife to give an answer.
Yeah.
That's him providing a guidance.
I think it's more like, you stare at them dumbly.
No, that's,
it's not hot enough.
No, that's the fake Wayne Rooney on the, what's it called, Special One TV.
Special One TV.
Fair enough.
I hear that Will Smith brought his son to the White House the other day, and his son asked Barack Obama if aliens were real, and he neither confirmed nor denied their existence.
Ooh.
Which I can imagine lends all sorts of fuel to the conspiracy fires.
Not only was
he
not born in the United States, he wasn't even born on Earth.
And also, maybe that proves that he wasn't listening during David Beckham's Q&A lessons, because he didn't answer the question properly.
Well, he should have let his wife answer it.
Well, fair enough.
Michelle Obama, no, get out.
Exactly.
Now Tim Thomas has something else to add to his list of complaints about Barack Obama.
And maybe Mike McGee, we don't know.
No, no, let's not impugn Mike McGee. As far as I know, he was there. Frankie Hayduk wasn't there. Maybe he's in the Tea Party, or he wasn't invited. Either way, what am I going to promote? I am going to promote another sporting icon, Charles Barkley. In a couple of weeks ago, he does a feature on Philly.com called Ask Sir Charles, wherein people ask him questions, and being sort of a lovable, outspoken guy, he provides answers, which are always hilarious. Not always, I don't know, I only read this one. But someone writes in, someone from Chester, I guess that's Chester, Pennsylvania. Charles, what's your opinion on professional soccer? I've got friends who absolutely hate it, curse it whenever they see it on TV. I've got others who think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I've never played, but I find myself getting sucked in when it's on TV now, especially when it's one of the really good European teams. Or Chelsea. I added that part, Grant.
Oh, well, thank you.
Is there something wrong with me? Signed, a soccer lover in Chester. And you have to imagine the rest of this being read in Charles Barkley's Alabaman slang, I believe, or not, twang, rather. I think he's from Alabama. Anyway. And the reason I read this is because, you know, again, a couple of weeks ago, we went on our big rant against the anti-soccer people. And so I'm promoting Charles Barkley for providing what I think is this very well-reasoned response. Answer, dude, there's no law that says you have to like what your friends like. That's why there's bacon-flavored soda. I imagine Barkley means this to mean that he likes it and none of his friends do. I happen to like watching soccer, although I admit I'm not as fanatical about it as our European and South American brothers and sisters. I don't understand why people would curse it. Just don't watch it if you hate it. But when you see a championship match on TV with 100,000 fans in the stands and each team represents its country and culture, it's a pretty cool experience. But hey, if you don't like to watch soccer on TV, just change the channel to some other sport. Even better, go get some exercise. You hear that, soccer haters? Charles Barkley just told you to go get some exercise.
And I'll confirm for you, the round mound of rebound is indeed from Alabama.
Did he, wasn't he going to run for governor at some point?
I don't know. He could, though. He's a talker. He knows how to do a Q&A.
Jesse Ventura was governor. I think Charles Barkley could has legitimate claim
too. Yeah, he shoots from the hip.
Yeah, you want to talk about people who, are questioning whether aliens exist and where Barack Obama was born.
Yeah.
Jesse Ventura, everybody. The body, the mind, and what's left of both of them. Grant?
Yes?
Who or what would you like to relegate?
I am going to relegate, well, first for a little background. I'm sure everyone is familiar with Manchester City winning the English Premier League on Monday.
Oh, I had that on my PVR. You ruined it.
I'm sorry.
I was going to watch that today.
Well, anyway, so they had this parade. Carlos Tevez was in the parade, held up a sign, said RIP Sir Alex Ferguson. Now, everybody went crazy on Twitter saying how horrible that was. And as it turned out later, somebody had just handed him the poster, this poster. What I'm relegating is that sort of instant knee-jerk reaction to it. When nobody stopped to sort of think about whether Carlos Tevez was at home with, like, magic markers, cardboard, and made a poster. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, especially one with a German iron cross at the top of it.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter whether or not he made it. The issue is that he's there at this parade holding it up.
He's in a parade. Everyone's happy. Someone throws him something. He just held it over his head.
Like,
he
gets caught up in the moment of exuberance. But the idea of, like, Tevez, like, sticking his thumb out and he's just, like, stabbing this marker onto it, and he's drawing, like, that is ridiculous.
I was picturing him just making it with his kids at home.
Jamie, I like how you kind of...
I have him being the kid.
I like how you kind of stuck your tongue out of the side of your mouth there like a three-year-old eating SpaghettiOs with his hands. Just,
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was going for.
It was a very neatly drawn sign.
Wait, so what are you relegating? The fact that he held up the sign? The fact that people got excited about it?
The reaction to the sign is what I'm relegating.
Yeah, it just seems like one of those things that will explode on the internet. It's like, Carlos Tevez holds up sign. Carlos Tevez makes sign. Carlos Tevez spends all day making sign. It was like, oh, for God's sakes. Like somebody just handed him whatever, and he held it up, and there's a picture of it.
If he actually did stay at home and, like, make the sign, I would think people would have more grounds to be upset at him. But the fact that he was just, like...
Do you know that he didn't? Maybe somebody handed it to him because he said, here's the sign I made, handed to me at an opportune photo moment.
He arranged that beforehand.
Yeah, he's more devious than even you could imagine.
One of my favorite responses to that was over at the Footy blog, Richard Whittall put up a post about, you know, about this situation, about the fact that Tevez held up this sign. And the first response he got, you know, was maybe Tevez doesn't speak Latin, college boy. And maybe, you know, we haven't thought about that angle. Yeah. Maybe he just doesn't know what RIP means.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
I mean, you know,
said several times, talked about how he doesn't speak English.
He doesn't really want to. Like, he doesn't understand other concepts like, you know, loyalty, you know, public decorum,
respect, order, authority.
So, like, maybe RIP is in that list of things he doesn't understand.
If I had just won the English Premier League and I was involved in this big party and parade, I would pretty much hold up anything anyone handed to me.
I'm going to make a note of that just in case.
All right.
But what do you think it could stand for then in his mind?
Wasn't it like drawn on a tombstone? Like that's
pretty much. What if he thinks it'd remain in Premiership, which is relatively, you know, just like you were second place, but you didn't get relegated. So think of how Bolton feels.
Well done.
Yeah.
Poor Bolton.
Remain in Premiership.
Jamie,
mm-hmm.
Who or what would you like to relegate?
I'm going
to
relegate, and anyone who knows that I'm an Arsenal fan could maybe see this coming, but I'm relegating Samir Nasri for extreme poor sportsmanship and being a not good winner at all. Obviously, he went from Arsenal in the summer to Manchester City. He just recently won the Premier League title with Manchester City. It's very contentious, and Arsenal fans, as fans anywhere do, when somebody leaves for a bigger money contract at a bigger money team, accuse him of just being in it for the money and just, you know, whatever. And so Arsenal fans give him a hard time, but he's a professional athlete. He's going to get a hard time from fans. That comes with the territory. But he's decided to hit out not only at Arsenal fans, but also kind of at Arsenal themselves. And he said in an interview in the week after winning the league, people at Arsenal tried to make out I came here just for the money. He said, I hope they're watching me now, collecting my Premier League winner's medal. I believe they've not won a trophy for many years now. And he's just kind of rubbing it in their face. And I hope that Arsenal fans can go on and live their lives on without me and forget me. Ugh.
Clearly, Jamie can't.
That's a really strange thing to say. I hope Arsenal fans can go on and live their lives without me.
Like, you just let it go. Like, you moved... And you've just and won. Like, you just, why you know, can't you just celebrate you just, your achievement?
I hope everyone from Arsenal had the free time to watch me on television. He was just being nice.
I hope they're watching me now, collecting my Premier League's winner's medal.
Wait a minute. I think we have an answer to both of your questions here as to this whole sign. Oh, Jamie's just thrown his talking points away in disgust.
It's all kicking off now.
Jamie, you've established that Samir Nasri is a dick. Grant, you've established that Carlos Tevez is just kind of a guy who will hold up any sign that's put in front of him.
Yes.
I think we know what the order of operations here was. Samir Nasri was the one with his tongue sticking out the side of his mouth like a three-year-old eating SpaghettiOs, mm-hmm. spending all day writing the Remain in Premiership Alex Ferguson tombstone sign, and just shoved it under Carlos Tevez's nose, and before you knew it, controversy.
He's like the Mikey from those old Life cereal commercials. Mikey, like, he'll eat anything or whatever. And Tevez, he'll hold up anything.
Ron Burgundy, he'll say anything.
Yeah. Put it on the teleprompter. As long as it's not in English, I guess Tevez will say it.
Yeah. I believe it means... Nah, I can't even say that.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah, okay. On we go. I'm going to relegate something at the other end of the Premiership table. You guys have been at the top of it. For the relegation, I'm going down to the very bottom, a team that was relegated, a specific fan of a team that was relegated.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to relegate, I'm not sure why, but I just wanted to bring him up, a video that's been circulating. Jamie, it's gone viral.
It has gone viral.
Maybe it has.
I think this legitimately has.
Of the last game of the season, Wolves at Wigan. Just, you know, the Wigan fans have all invaded the pitch, and there's a big row of police and security that's separating them from the section where the Wolves fans are. And this one guy just kind of casually walks up, you know, casually approaching the line of officers, and they sort of tense up a little bit, expecting he's going to do something. And then he just goes for it, just headlong barrels into this crowd of hundreds of Wigan fans.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, they all just seem to dissipate. You know, it's like they're a big pool of water, and he's the drop of drunken oil that's plopped in the middle of them.
And there's a cluster that hang around in the middle of this drop of
and
oil.
Beat the living crap
yeah,
out
and
of him.
Give it a kicking.
I
really need to watch this video.
Yeah, I guess, you know, since
I don't know why you're relegating.
Yeah,
this
since
guy.
I have to come roundabout in some way to relegate him, I'll say I'm relegating the fact that he has set the bar very high for delusional pitch invaders and has made it very difficult for other people
there
to make
go.
An impression in the future. You know, if someone goes out and it's like, yeah, I'm going to run on the field and fight five opposing fans, they'll forever be held up against this. Well, you didn't fight 500, whatever, you're a loser.
So you're basically saying he's made it very difficult for drunk, stupid people to make an impression from now on.
Yeah, and I guess I'm relegating the fact that drunk, stupid people are now going to have to go to even more extreme lengths mm-hmm. if they want to get themselves noticed.
As long as you're not relegating drunk, stupid people.
No.
I'm behind that.
Grant, you're going to be standing next to me, Canada v. Honduras, on June 12th. So, yeah.
Well, not if we're not in our proper seat assignments, I won't.
Oh, yeah,
I'll,
right.
I'll be in the same section in general.
Grant, do you remember the guy at the Canada-Honduras game in Montreal in 2008? The guy who was standing next to me, the big dude in the leather jacket who just like went past all of us and just went headlong into the big crowd of Hondurans,
he
just kind of
actually,
barreled his way in.
The way I remember it now, he actually jumped over my head.
I think time has done something to this memory.
He was Clark Kent.
And he jumped over, well, like maybe my right shoulder. I kind of looked up and I just saw him into like
Carl Crawford was with us at the Canada game?
Two arms outstretched, bashing into this big section of Honduran fans.
I think time has had its way with this
no,
memory.
No, time hasn't done anything.
I know
that's exactly what happened.
I know where Grant was. He couldn't record with us earlier. He was watching the Avengers, and now he's just thinking of the last thing that was in his head. Yeah, the guy was in a big iron suit, and he looked like Robert Downey Jr. and had a bunch of snappy one-liners.
And he hit the Honduran fans with his huge hammer?
Actually, he didn't. I kind of remember him not talking at all. Like that Johnny Cash song, Big John. He's this kind of big, like, silent, quiet guy, and then he just lost it right at the end.
Well,
he's the guy, like, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. The chief.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, that's enough apocryphal stories for one day. We'll move on to Taste the Trivia, the weekly trivia challenge where the answers and questions are provided by the listeners. Our swag situation is in flux, but if you love Canadian soccer and love interacting with us on Facebook and email, and why wouldn't you? Then take part in this, won't you? Last week,
you love the idea that our swag is in flux.
Yikes! Our peaks are splurging. That's the phrase you used earlier, Grant.
Yep.
Our peaks are splurging. Anyway, last week the question was: What is the only country to have defeated Canada in every game they've played at the men's and women's senior national level? The answer was Germany. The correct answer was given to us by Richard Wyatt, who brought to our attention the fact that Germany is also the only country to have won a Women's World Cup and a Men's World Cup, which, come to think of it, yeah, I guess they have. So,
good for Germany.
Richard has given us the question for this week, which is, name three former Canadian international goalkeepers currently employed by Sportsnet. And that's the question he gave us. That's not, you know, he's a real person. He's a real fan. This is not.
This isn't coming down from corporate headquarters.
Yeah, there's no one in a suit that handed us the envelope. But if you have the correct answer to that, head over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/somecanadianguys. If you're the first one with the right answer, you will be giving us a question for next week. And you'll get put on this list we have where if we ever end up getting some more swag, you might get some of it.
A swag list.
A swag list, yeah. Mm-hmm. Grant,
yep.
Quickly, before we go, you haven't been with us for very long today, so
no,
tell people what you've got in the pipeline over at Canadian Soccer News or anywhere else that you're doing anything.
Well, you know, I'm going to, as soon as Honduras and Panama release their World Cup roasters, it's this new line of meat cooking things.
Just
no
David Suazo, but Kenny Rogers is on the roster for some bizarre reason.
The Amado Guevara Grill. And yeah, so I'm going to do
the chicken's so tasty you'll want to dive right in.
Go
on.
No, I mean that's it. And I don't
you
know, to
me, you're
going to
do what? You didn't say what you're going to do.
I don't think there's going to be anywhere else. Nobody else is going to actually do that in English. Sort of break down their roster, say where they're strong, where they're weak. Mainly because nobody cares, but still, you know.
But Grant cares.
It'll be exclusive.
Grant, so. Yeah, that's a CSN exclusive, folks. Jamie, what are you doing at Sportsnet?
We have a new issue coming out today. It's got one half of a Euro preview, and then the next issue will have the other half of it. And it will...
Wait a minute, hold them up next to each other,
but like the words are cut off halfway through.
So you, you just preview, like, pick eight teams and do them first?
No, we did the Poland groups first, and then the Ukraine second.
Okay. Ooh. So you have to wait till the second edition.
You're going to get angry letters from Ukrainians.
To hear your final pick of who's going to win the entire tournament.
No, that's all up front. But if you want to see the team previews and that kind of nonsense, that's in the second one. And we will have either for the iPad edition of Sportsnet magazine or in the print edition, it's all undecided at this point, a World Cup qualifying preview for Canada.
Splendid. Mm-hmm. As for the lot of us, you can check out what I'll be writing over at CanadianSoccerNews.com. I don't know what's next, but there will be something good there. That's where you can
also you're going to write until you've written it.
Exactly. That's where you can also get some details about getting tickets and some of the other information around the World Cup qualifiers coming up next month. Time has come to say fair is fair. No, to support our national teams. A lot of massive games coming up in the near future. The men's national team in World Cup qualifying. The women's team in the Olympics. Lots on our plate in the months ahead. And like I said, this is the time for us to all put our money where our mouths are. So,
and yes,
Jamie,
remember,
are you going to put some money in my mouth?
No, I can't afford to keep money in my own mouth. We've got to remember that we've got the guy from Rancid picking a tune, maybe even writing a tune.
Oh, yeah, right.
For Will Johnson and for the Canadian men's national team, possibly. So we've got to keep on that.
Yeah.
The guy from Rancid.
Yeah, if you had been here, I feel kind of bad because I just said the guy from Rancid, and Will's like, yeah, he's a good friend of mine, actually. Like,
that's true.
He's just some guy.
Well, I mean, if we mentioned his name, people won't know, but he's a guy from Rancid.
And I also forgot his name.
Exactly.
Grant, you can do something for the first time, which is listen back to this show after we've recorded it.
Well, it sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's a shame you weren't here. But presumably, you will be here next week for the show, but in the time being, you will be on Twitter with some frequency. What is your handle if people want to see what you have to write?
Yeah, I may, if anyone's interested, this Saturday afternoon, I may go off on a bit of a, well, who knows what might happen, but Chelsea's playing in the Champions League
final. Yeah, we went over this.
Oh, okay. All right, well, everybody knows. So, SCG Grant.
Wait, were you proposing to tell people that the Champions League final is happening?
No.
You're not Dwayne
by the way,
DiRosario
anybody
on Twitter.
Hasn't heard.
Yeah. That's a D-Row-esque tweet there.
Exactly. We all saw Dwayne's
Champions
tweet.
League final.
UEFA Champions League, Chelsea FC v Bayern Munich, 2:30 Eastern on whatever channel.
Yeah.
Sportsnet, is it?
It could be.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
All right. If it is, watch it. And if it's not, don't. I don't know. Jamie, where can people find you on Twitter?
At @Doyle_Jamie.
Dynamite.
Would you like me to spell that?
Sure. Why not?
I'm not going to.
DOYLE_JAMEI. That's you.
Nope. IE. You don't know how to spell
that. What did I say?
EI.
OILE.
I was apparently thinking of George Takei.
Yeah. You should follow George Takei on Facebook, though. It's funny.
I bet he supports Gay for Soccer.
Yes.
It's a funny slogan for that organization. What is it? Because soccer's not gay, but once in a while, it kind of is.
Yeah.
That's kind of humorous.
It is.
Anyway, that's all we got. You can follow me on Twitter at Daniel Squizzato, DanielSquizzato. We'll be yammering at you again next week, probably. Till then, we are, as always, some Canadian guys talking about soccer.